good morning, everyone, and welcome. I'm delighted that you're with us this morning as we start out our brand new series on Dust to Diamonds. For the next 3 weeks, here's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking and examining God's plan for each and every one of us. And I believe God's plan for each and every one of us is that we would sparkle like diamonds for His glory day by day, wherever we go, and that God's got big plans for each and every one of you and for all of us. And during the course of these next 3 weeks, here's what we're going to be examining. First of all, we want to look at how God takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. Say it with me. The ordinary, God makes what? Extraordinary. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a diamond. You're a diamond. That's right. We're going to look at the process. You know, diamond making, there's a process to it. And it includes heat and time and great pressure. We're going to talk about how these issues, how they deal in our lives and making us what God wants us to be. And then we want to talk about how diamonds are beautiful, and yet they are durable, and how God wants you to be not only beautiful for Him and reflect His glory, He wants you to be strong. He wants you to be tough. He wants you to be able to stand in the midst of a culture that would at times be a very difficult and hard place to be. And He wants you to be there without buckling under. So God wants us beautiful, but He also wants us durable. Now, with that being said, the basic building block of a beautiful diamond is what is called crystalline carbon dust. Crystalline, which from its name, it is crystal in form, and it is a carbon dust. Now, when you think about it, it's pretty amazing how the ordinary carbon dust, when subjected to heat, to pressure, forms a diamond. The ordinary, just dust, becomes extraordinary. Now, I want you to keep this in mind this morning as we turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. The first book of the Bible, book of Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 7. Genesis 2 and verse 7, it says, "Now the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being," or a living soul. One more time, it says, "Then the Lord God, He formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." I would have loved to have been an angel standing in the corner watching as God Himself reached down to the dust of the ground and began to shape and form what we know as Adam. I'm sure the angels must have stood there in absolute amazement, scratching their heads. What is it that God is making? How important can this be if God is using just the dust of the earth to create this thing He is creating? Yes, God had a plan in mind. And God was going to shape and form not only this man, but He was going to place within him the breath of life, and this man was going to become God's crowning work. Dust of the ground can either be interpreted as dirt or as clay. No matter how you interpret it, it is the basic building block for mankind. And so it's rather ordinary. But with the touch of God and with the breath of God, the ordinary became extraordinary. Dust, think about it for a moment. Dirt, clay. We walk on it each and every day. It's so common, it is so ordinary, that it's often seen as a nuisance. I don't think anybody walks around their house saying, "Thank God I've got dust." Or when the kids come marching in and they've been out playing in the dirt and they leave tracks all across your light carpet, I don't think we're all too happy about that. We do not see dust, dirt, or clay as something that is of high value. It's so common, so ordinary, that we consider it then to be most likely a nuisance, something that needs to be cleaned up, or something that needs to be shoveled away. It is simply amazing then how God takes the ordinary and makes of it something that is extraordinary. Friends, the human body is an absolute wonderful work of art. is extraordinary in every single way. The five human senses are a marvel. Think about it for a moment, the ability to hear. How God has hardwired us from the very beginning as he shaped this mud ball on the ground, put life within it, not just any life, but his life. And as he gave Adam life, he also gave him the ability to hear. That's an amazing thing. You know, as I go to various places around the world, whether it's in London or whether it's Mexico City or whether it's, you know, some of the great cities of the Far East, Middle East, wherever it may be, it's an amazing thing to listen to a city awaken in the morning. What has been so quiet throughout the night hours, as soon as the sun begins to rise, whether it's New York City or London or whether it's in Cairo, Egypt or anywhere else, the city just starts to come to life. And you hear the shopkeepers opening their doors and there's a sound of, you know, the chains being released and the doors being opened and trucks are beginning to make their deliveries and so much is going on. The silent city takes on a sound of its own. It's an amazing thing to hear that when you listen quietly in the morning as the city literally comes awake. Or to go out into a forest, as I've so often done, whether it's hunting early in the morning before the sun rises, and there you are and you're blind and you're waiting for the sun to arise, and as the sun begins to come up, there's a sound out in the forest that's amazing. You hear the birds and you hear all of the live, you know, beings that God has put into that forest all begin to make different sounds, and it's an amazing thing to be able to hear. Or to see, to look up at night and see the beautiful sky above and all the stars. It's an amazing sight. It's an amazing thing to be able to touch, to reach out and touch a newborn after its birth and how soft that skin is. Or to taste, you know, after being on 21 days of the Daniel fast. I've come to believe that Daniel, he had a very bad diet. If it tastes good, you can't have it. If it looks good, it's out of line. Now that it's over, taste. Perfectly grilled steak. Daniel, I don't know whether he knew what he was missing out or not about, but nonetheless, the ability to taste, the ability to smell the fragrance of a rose. All of these things are part of our five senses. So God took what was merely dirt, dust, clay. He formed and shaped it into a man, and there was still no life. But then God placed the breath of life within him. And the Bible says he became a hearing, seeing, touching, smelling. Here's someone that could do so much. The ordinary became extraordinary. Add to that our ability to walk, to talk and communicate, to think things through, to dream beyond what we can know with our natural understanding, to make plans for tomorrow, to pursue those plans, to develop relationships as husband and wife, parents with children, relationships. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to grow in relationship. To watch my three little granddaughters, how they are now as cousins, one with another, and they can be together all day long. And we'll see them probably, you know, 2 hours later, and it's like they've never seen each other. They're over there hugging on each other, laughing together. And, you know, what a wonderful thing it is. God hardwired us so we can have relationship and enjoy those relationships, husband and wife, parents with children, children with their parents, and all the extended family members. This is marvelous when you consider it all started with dirt. And God placed within us the breath of life, gave us the five senses, gave us these abilities. And I believe one of the greatest of all gifts from God is the ability to enjoy fellowship with our Creator. Not only to know about God, but our ability to know Him and have a relationship with him, and to enjoy that relationship every day. No matter how you look at that, that's pretty extraordinary from something as ordinary as dust. One day when the psalmist David was considering and pondering all the incredible parts of his life and the miracle of life itself, he wrote in Psalm 139 and verse 13, "For you have created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Friends, here's what David is saying. David is saying, when I look at myself in the mirror and I realize that I am made of dust and that God's hand upon my life has been as miraculous as it was when he created Adam from the dust of the ground. "You're the one that shaped me and formed me within my mother's womb," he writes. And he says, "I know this, and I know this right well. And I am wonderfully and I am fearfully made." Friends, God takes great pleasure in taking the ordinary and making it extraordinary. I want you to think about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human understanding." Here's what he's saying. You were so ordinary, yet God's hand has been upon your life. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. There were not many kings or prince or princesses. There were not many that were considered so wise that the world looked and wowed at their natural abilities. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Friends, we are what we are because of God. The Bible says, from dust you came, dust you'll return, but God has taken this mere dust and he has made the ordinary into something so extraordinary that the Bible says the angels of heaven look over the balcony of heaven and they look down on our salvation with absolute amazement. How is it that God could take dust and from dust make man and make man the crowning work of his hands? Aren't you glad that our God has a plan for each and every one of our lives? And that plan is that the ordinary would become extraordinary. And Paul writes and he says, if you look at yourself closely in the mirror, you'll find you are so ordinary that you will look at yourself and say, how is it that God could ever do anything with me or through me? And he says, it's to God's glory that we live and it's to him we boast about. It's not our doing, it's the Lord God, amen? So God, he enjoys taking the what we would call the ordinary things of life and making them extraordinary. Now the Bible is filled with examples of ordinary men and women who became extraordinary in their accomplishments for God. If you go back into the Old Testament, you'll find a man by the name of Abraham. The Bible says of Abraham, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. He had a son, his son's name was Isaac. Isaac had a son, his name is Jacob. Each one of these men were so common, yet God took these common individuals, ordinary men, and he literally laid the foundation for faith in the singular God, in the living God for all of mankind. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are called the patriarchs. Or think of Sarah, or Deborah, or Mary in the New Testament. all of these, when you look at them and look at their history, again, you'll discover there is nothing about them that made them so special that God chose them on the basis of their special talents, special abilities. God chooses ordinary people so that he can show his extraordinary power through them. And so it was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, and Deborah, and Mary. What about David in the Old Testament? David was just a young, ruddy lad when he met Goliath out on the battlefield. Remember, he did not go out on the battlefield there to take on Goliath. Matter of fact, if you look at the story, and if you remember the story, he was going out to take food to his brothers, some cheese, some bread, and something to drink. Remember, he is going on a mission from his father to go out and take some food to his older brothers, which had been in this standoff in the Valley of Elah for some time with this giant called Goliath. And when he arrives on the scene there at Elah, the Valley of Elah, he comes to realize the children of Israel, the chosen ones of God, they're cowering, they're afraid to take on this giant by the name of Goliath. Listen to what this young lad does, starting in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45. David said to the Philistine, that is to Goliath, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals, and to the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." So here's just an ordinary young boy. He is on a mission to go out, take food, carrying food out to his brothers that were on the front lines of this standoff with Goliath. And seeing the opportunity and seeing the fear in the eyes of Israel, he was determined, if it takes just a young lad to do it, I'll be that one. But I will go out because I realize this battle is not mine, this battle is the Lord's. And the Lord God has never lost a battle. Therefore, I'll come out and I will take him on. The ordinary young lad becomes the extraordinary person used of God. Ordinary young boy. Yes, with an extraordinary courage and faith in his God. You come with javelin, sword, and spear. But I come in the authority of the living God. Hallelujah. There's another in the Old Testament that comes to mind. His name is Samson. We know Samson for his mighty acts, his mighty works, his strength, his vitality. Samson was just an ordinary man. Read it and read it carefully. You'll discover there was nothing unique about this man. I was in the mall just the other day, and a guy was running one of the booths that you find, you know, selling his wares in the middle of the aisle there at the mall. And a young lady walked by, and let me tell you, she was so physically fit. And he walked by this salesperson that was selling in the mall, and he shouted out to her as she walked by, "How often, how many hours a week do you work out?" And she turned around and said, "I'm never in the gym." And he turned to me as I was walking by saying, "She's blessed." Now that's very true. Friends, I want you to understand, this young guy called Samson, he didn't go to the gym every day. I'll tell you what he did do. He consecrated himself to God. And as a Nazarite, there was things he said, "I cannot do these things and be the man that God wants me to be. And so I'm willing to give up some of these temporal things to gain that which is eternal." And when he failed to continue to think that way is when he got into trouble, as we all know. But Samson, the Bible says, it wasn't natural strength. He was dust. He was dust with the breath of God within him. Therefore, God had a big plan for his life. This dust was to become a diamond in the hand of Almighty God. And Samson was ordinary until, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God came upon him mightily. Go back and watch. Every time he does and excels in his strength, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, friends, I want you to understand, when God comes upon an individual, just like he did with Adam in the garden, shaped this individual, it was just a lifeless form on the ground until God put the breath of life within him. And the Bible says at that moment he became a living soul or a living person. I want you to understand, God's plan for your life is that you will shine for him and that you will excel for him and that others will look and will say, for just dust, this is pretty amazing what God has done. And that the glory will not go to us, but the glory will go to God. And so Samson was an ordinary man until the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And at that moment, the ordinary became extraordinary. There's another in the Bible by the name of Solomon. Solomon became king over Israel. And you'll discover he followed after his father David. Solomon's source of wisdom and wealth was not merely natural, but rather it was supernatural. I want you to see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. The Bible says, that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. My younger brothers, we would often get together and we'd often just kind of play games like when we were small children. What if a genie came out of a bottle and said, I will give you a wish. What would you wish for? And so we would banter back and forth what we would ask for. And my brother Dale, he had probably the best answer of all. He said, I would ask that genie to give me 1,000 more wishes. And then he said, when I get down to 999, used up, I have one left, I would ask for 1,000 more. Now Solomon, according to this, God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Let me tell you, that's a blank check. That's a big thing. And here's what Solomon answered. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me the king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I've made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you, and I will also give you wealth and possessions and honor such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have. Notice what God said. Because you have asked for wisdom and for knowledge so that you can lead my people right, I'm not only going to give you knowledge and wisdom, but I'm going to give you some things you never asked for. I'm going to give you wealth that is unparalleled. I'm going to give you honor like no other king has ever had before. And I'm going to bless you in a way so that generations after generation will say there's never been anyone like Solomon. Yet when you look at Solomon, there is nothing about him in the natural that makes him outstanding. God takes the general, everyday we'd say, run-of-the-mill average run-off-the-press individual. He takes the ordinary, and with God's touch and God's blessing, it always becomes extraordinary. And that's God's plan for each and every one of you. Now let's go on. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he chose 12 very ordinary men. 7 of them were fishermen. 1 was a tax collector. The other 4, we are not absolutely sure what their roles were or their occupations prior to their calling by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have in my possession this morning, not many people have ever had this, but I have a letter that was given to Jesus. This letter is from the Jordan Management Consultants, and it's a memo given to Jesus. Listen very carefully. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of 12 men you have picked for managerial positions in your new organization. All of them have taken our battery of tests. We've not only run our tests through our computer, but we've also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. In the staff's opinion, most of your nominees lack in background education and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have a team concept. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, place personal interests above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a skeptical attitude that might tend to undermine morale. Matthew has been blacklisted by the Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He is a man of ability, resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. We wish you the very best success in your new venture. Sincerely, the Jordan Management Consultants. Seven were fishermen, one was a tax collector, the other 4 we're not sure of. Now, to be certain, tax collectors and fishermen were not considered the upper crust of the culture, society. But I want you to watch what happens to these ordinary men when they spend time with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So Jesus now, he chooses 12 men, which the Jordan Management Consultants believe only one of them is really qualified. And he gives them authority. And the authority that Jesus gives to these ordinary, everyday fishermen and a tax collector is authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. The message at this point is to stay amongst the Jewish people, which have had the law, which have had the prophets, and should be the most ready to respond. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Literally, when you read that, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That all you need to do if you're hungry is just reach out a little bit and you'll discover that the kingdom is not far from you, that God is ready to touch mankind. So go proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. The 12 simply obeyed, and the ordinary went forth with the power of God and did the extraordinary. To the point that the news about these 12 men, as it began to disseminate throughout the land, was this: they have turned Jerusalem upside down. Friends, you know, Jerusalem spiritually had been upside down for so long that when the disciples came along and turned it right side up, they thought it was upside down. We live in a world that's just as confused today. Up is down, down is up, white is black, black is white. It's all messed up. And it's time for some ordinary people possessed by the supernatural, extraordinary power of God, filled with the Spirit, to get out there and say, the kingdom of God is at hand. And rather than medicating demons, rather than counseling demons, casting demons out and taking the power of God, the power to change lives, take it into the highways, the byways, everywhere we go. He said, as you go, let them know the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead. I've often thought what a day that would be if we all came home and as we regather, the kids from school and our wife from her job and the guys from our jobs, and we get home and, well, kids, what do you do today? Well, I cast demons out of 7 students. Honey, what do you do on the way home today? Well, I saw the guy that was killed in a car accident. I stopped and raised him back to life. Stopped by the hospital and I emptied out the morgue. Yeah, just a regular kind of ordinary day. Well, what'd you do? Well, I heal the sick. Friends, we laugh, and rightfully so. It almost sounds humorous. But in reality, we're living like dust when God wants us to live like a diamond. And that God wants not ordinary, but extraordinary life from his children. And the 12 went out. The 12 went out and they made a difference in their generation. Matter of fact, such a difference that historians tell us by the end of the first century AD, they had gone into the schools, they'd gone into the educational systems, the medical, the culture of the day had literally been impacted in every single area, from the arts to the sciences, by men that were ordinary, but filled with the extraordinary power of Jesus Christ. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, dust that we walk on, clay we try to scrape off our feet, dust when it's in our homes, we try to get rid of it. Then the Lord God formed man from ordinary dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God's touch and the breath of life makes the ordinary extraordinary. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, let me paraphrase it for you this way. This is from the JB paraphrase. Jerry Brooks, okay. It's yet to be published, but I will put it on the screen for you. Daniel is talking about, when you read through Daniel chapter 11, it's prophetic. He said, the day is coming when the Antichrist is going to have such power in the earth. There's going to be such opposition to the people of God that many are going to be fearful and they're going to buckle under it. And Daniel said this in the last part of verse 32, the ordinary people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits that are extraordinary. In the midst of difficulty, when there's opposition, when there's the big pushback, when others are cowering, Davids are going to stand up and say, I come in the name of the Lord God. I come in his authority. I come in his power, not in mine. I am dust. That's all I am. I am dust. And one day this body of clay, this body of dust will return back to dust. But until that time, I am more than dust. I possess the Spirit of Almighty God within me. And he that is within me is greater than he's within the world. And you can come with your javelin, you can come with your spear, and you can come with your sword, but I come in the name of the Lord your God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout the earth looking for those that are ordinary, that he can show himself to be extraordinary in and through. The ordinary people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits that are extraordinary. If you're tired of being just dust, dust is the starting point. It's the basic building block of every human life. Dust, shaped and formed by the hand of God, breath of life within us. Ordinary dirt became extraordinary, to the point the angels over the balcony look and say, wow, look what God has done with that mud ball. I'm so glad God's got big plans. And if you've been living as dust, when God wants you to live a life that's extraordinary, this series is for you. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the process. How is it that dust becomes a physical diamond? There's a correlation that is uncanny between how diamonds are formed deep within the earth. How do these diamonds get from deep within the earth to the surface? It's got something to say about the whole process that God uses in our life. But remember this, you can't have a diamond until you have dust, crystalline dust. You have to have pressure. You've got to have heat. And it takes some time. And in that environment, it produces the most hardened, most durable, the most beautiful thing the world has ever known, called a diamond. God is making diamonds out of us. Next week, we're going to talk about the process. How is he going to get us from ordinary to extraordinary? In the last week, we're going to talk about beautiful. Diamonds are beautiful, but let me tell you, don't let their beauty beguile you into thinking that they're soft and something could just be crushed. They cannot. Matter of fact, diamonds are the hardest known substance to man. There is no mineral substance harder than a diamond. But God, he wants us to be beautiful, but he wants us to be durable. He wants us to be able to stand in this culture, our present culture, and not be crushed. That we can go about with extraordinary works for God. So that's where we're headed throughout this series. But you know, I believe there's many in this room right now that are saying, I'm tired of living the dust life. I've been made by God for something greater than what I've experienced. And remember, out of our list, I believe that the greatest of all is to have a relationship with God, to know him, to love him, to experience his touch, his life in ours. I want you to bow your heads for a moment and all across this room. How many would say, Pastor, you know, I've been living the dust life and I'm tired of living that way. I want to move from the ordinary to the extraordinary. I want to be able to give God all the glory for what I become And at this point, I'm pretty much, I consider myself, I've done what I've done by my own strength, my own power. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And I've come to realize that is not going to cut it. That's dust living. And I want to move into the supernatural. I want to have a relationship with God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many say, Pastor, will you pray for me today? I want to start my journey. I want to become a diamond for God. Let me see your hands. Put them up high all over this room. There are many that are going up all over. Yes. Let me pray for you right now as we begin our journey. Father, this morning, we get it. We understand. You took dust. You took dirt, the stuff we walk on every day, the stuff we wipe off our feet, the stuff that we try to get rid of in our homes. The stuff that is so common that we walk on it, yet you took that and you formed and shaped Adam. And in the same way, you shape and form us within our mother's wombs. David said, we are wonderfully and fearfully made. And like everything in all of creation, there's not only a design, but there's a reason, there's a plan. And I ask, oh God, that each one of these friends during this series would find the highest purposes of God in their life. Lord, I pray for those that are saying, I'm living the dust life. There's nothing supernatural about my day-to-day life. I have fears. I cower. I've got concerns. I worry. I fret about things that I was never meant to worry or fret over. Lord, I pray that during this series that each one would move from where they're at to a new dimension of being polished by you. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would meet each one where they're at right now. Just from your own heart, say, Lord, like you took and put breath of life into Adam, put the breath of heaven's life in me. I'm ready to forsake all my past, all of my dirt living. I'm ready to surrender all of that so that I can know life and know it more abundantly. I acknowledge you as Lord, Lord of my life. I surrender all my past, my present, my future to you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. And thank you, Lord, for the journey you're starting each of these friends on, from dust to a diamond. We thank you for it. Let's all stand together all over this room.